Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, I'm going to be getting into a message that is really important because, you know, the enemy wants to steal your peace. The enemy wants to steal your peace. He knows that if he can get your peace, he'll get you right where he wants you. So before we define, or before we look at why he wants to steal your peace, let's first take a look at the word peace and what does it mean. And you know, it's very interesting because when you study scripture, you'll find that there is, you know, the Bible speaks of the Old Testament. I know Pastor John spoke briefly about that this morning as being a place where we go to because it's a type and shadow. But really, the Old Testament, there's really, it just flows right into the New Testament, and ideas and principles from the Old Testament, you will find where they match in the New Testament. In fact, you will find that the majority of Jesus' teachings can be found in the Old Testament. And that's a very powerful thing. If you go study that, his teachings, all those parables, principles, the majority of them, you will actually find them in the Old Testament. So he was just preaching the word. The only difference was it was alive. I don't know, but that's kind of exciting to me, you know. So you'll find that, for example, concepts like salvation and healing, you'll find a Greek word for that concept, and then you'll go to the Old Testament and find a Hebrew word. It seems different, but the real essence or the root of it is the same. And so in the English language, we try and define that, and it's kind of difficult because both languages, the Greek and the Hebrew, are extremely powerful. The word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. And you know that that's not just, it's like peace, that's what they do when they greet each other, shalom. The Israelis, they greet each other, hello and goodbye that way. And really what they're doing is they're speaking a blessing. And really what the word shalom means is it means a state of health. So I'm speaking health to you. It means deliverance. It means completeness. It means salvation. It means prosperity. Do you see how rich it is? We say peace and we think we feel good, right? Like I have peace, I feel good. Okay, all right. In the New Testament, it's the word irini. And what it means is it means to be calm. It means harmony. It means freedom from worry or rest. And that kind of relates a little bit more to our idea, or let me rather say my idea of what peace is. Kind of like a state of calmness, a state of harmony, a state of freedom from worry. I don't like to worry, right? We want to have rest. We want to be at a place of rest. And the truth is that peace is one of those things that I think every single person in this room, in fact, I would go as far as to say every single person on the planet is looking for peace. You know, we strive for things, we go after things, and ultimately, if we really bring it back to what the root is of what we desire, it's contentment and peace. I want to have peace. I want to be able to go to bed at night and not have any worries, not have any stress, not have any problems, be able to just go to put my head on the pillow and just be completely at peace, not worry about my children, not worry about, I'm thinking about who's going to get offended, so I'm just kind of like going down the list, you know. So that's the way it is, but it's interesting because Jesus makes a very powerful statement to define to us what peace is. He says in John 14 verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And this is powerful, but I kind of want to read it or go back to it from the end of the verse to the beginning of the verse. So he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The truth is that most of us at some point in our lives, in our weeks, in our days, will have some kind of problem, trouble, stress, fear, or something that comes to you. And the Lord wants you to know that he doesn't want you to have that. He wants you to know that he wants you to have peace. Because that's a promise to us as believers. We can walk in his peace. What you will find out this morning is that like most things in your walk with God, peace is something that is progressively added to you. Not because it's not available to you, but because your mind doesn't get it. And your mind has a tendency to do things the way Jesus describes you. He says there are two different types of peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. So that means that there is a peace that comes from the world. Because he says, I'm going to give you peace, but my peace is not the same as the world's peace. My peace is something different. So we need to define what the difference is between the world's peace and the Lord's peace. But they are not the same thing. And you will find that they don't operate the same way. So how do we define which one is which? And the truth is, you can define what the world's peace is and what the Lord's peace is from who you're receiving that peace from. Think about that for just a moment. When you receive peace from God, you know that that is His peace. When you receive peace from the world or from the things of this world, you're receiving the peace of the world. The peace of the world is something that is temporary because the things that give you peace from this world are only here for a short amount of time. Let's say, for example, I need money. And somebody sends me a check in the mail and I open the mail and there's this check and I'm really all excited and I have peace for finances for another 2 weeks. That is a temporary peace. That is a peace that comes from this world. It's not evil, it's not bad, but it's not real. It's temporary. In our minds, it's real because it makes us feel better. But remember, we're not supposed to walk by our emotions and our feelings. We are supposed to walk by faith. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We should be able to be in peace no matter what. And that's really difficult, let's be honest. You know, it's difficult for me. And I glow in the dark. That's a joke, okay? I don't. I've tried. It doesn't work. Okay. Peace that comes from this world is a peace that comes from, example, when you have a good job and things are going well there. Peace that you get from when your kids are doing exactly what you want them to do, behaving the way that you want them to behave, saying what you want them to say, doing what you want them to do, sitting next to who you want them to sit next to, you know, all these kind of things. I watch my daughter very carefully. When she's doing everything right, I have peace. Sometimes, as I said, financially, we can have a situation where we need finances, and having finances can give you peace. Sometimes you'll get peace from the fact that you have a vacation coming up. Amen. I'm with you. And obviously, the Bible's clear about this several times. Worry, problems, attacks, all different kind of things. And when you don't have those things, we have a sense of peace. And the truth is that that kind of peace comes from this world. It's not a spiritual peace. It's a carnal peace. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that that kind of peace is bad, but it's not spiritual. It's not from God. It's a fleshly, carnal peace. So, for example, you know, you're having all kinds of problems. Somebody, your wife decides to go and buy you this nice BMW. And when she pulls in the driveway, she gets out the car, and the first thing she says is, "Sweetheart, it's paid off, and it's yours." And you're going to feel this great excitement and peace that will come over you. But then a month later, that car gets taken away from you, and you lose your peace. Or something else happens, and you lose your peace. You see, the enemy will do everything he can to derail you so that you lose peace, because if you have no peace, it's very difficult for us to do anything effective in the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. When you don't have peace, what kind of husband are you? Some of you are really guilty with that one. If you don't have peace, what kind of father or mother are you? If you don't have peace, kids, what kind of child are you? But when things are going well and you have peace and you have joy, everything seems to go okay, right? Amen? The problem with us is that if we rely on things, finances, and things going perfectly, if we rely on that, then when it gets taken away from us, we'll have no peace. That's the peace that comes from this world. We understand that now. But I want you to know that there is another peace that we can tap into that can help us no matter what we're going through. Listen to what the Bible says. Philippians 4, verse number 6. And this is what it says. It says, be anxious for, say it again. Be anxious for nothing. He's saying to you, listen, it doesn't matter whether you've lost your job. It doesn't matter if things are going a little rough. It doesn't matter if your kids aren't behaving. It doesn't matter. Be anxious for nothing. And then he gives us a solution. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, God already knows that you're going through some stuff. But he wants to help you in that situation. The problem is that when something goes wrong, immediately we begin to become anxious, we begin to worry, and when we do that, we become ineffective. We can't be a good husband, we can't be a good wife, we can't be a good employee, because our mind is overwhelmed by the things of this world because we have no peace. And that's why he says, be anxious for nothing. Instead of being anxious, rather come to me, he says. Come to me and bring those problems to me. And then he says something powerful. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, be known to God. And the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. How many of you in this room want that kind of peace? Come on, I want that kind of peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, the most dangerous thing is when something gets into your heart. But before it gets into your heart, it must first affect your mind. And he makes this statement. He says this. He says, the God of peace, or the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we need to take a look at two words there. We need to look at the word surpasses in the Greek. And what it means is it means to excel or to hold above. To excel or hold above. And the word understanding there really speaks of the mind. So what it's saying is, it says that the peace of God will far excel or go above the mind. Oh, that's powerful right there. I don't think you get it. Let me explain this to you. You see, when the enemy is attacking you, you don't have peace because the peace of this world that you had has now been taken away from you. But God is saying, I have a peace. The peace of God surpasses understanding. In other words, it goes beyond your mind, above your mind. In other words, that thing, that suggestion, whatever it is that's coming against you, there is a peace that goes above that. And the question is, how do we get that peace? How do we tap into that peace? You're going to have to hang on. I'm going to get there. I'm going ahead of myself. Okay? We're going to get there in just a moment. But that's how we find ourselves. We find ourselves in these situations where all of a sudden it gets so bad or something comes against us. And the enemy wants to keep you in that place because what he wants to do more than anything, I said this in the first service, is he wants you to catch a speed wobble in your walk with God. And if you ever see someone catch a speed wobble, they kind of like begin to go like this, and then it goes like this, and then they crash. And that's what he wants to do with you in your walk with God. You see, if we rely on his peace or we wait for his peace, that means that our minds have been changed. We don't accept what the world wants us to believe is the reality. You have two realities to choose from, God's reality or the world's reality. What reality will you choose? Now, you see, it's easy to say that. Let's be honest. Well, I'm going to choose God's. Of course, me too. But I don't feel like it right now. Because right now, I have a problem. And this problem is overwhelming. And this problem is so real in the midst of everything I'm going through. Are you with me? I want to choose God's peace. But how do I do it? How do I get it to happen? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Jesus said to us that this peace is far beyond what we can imagine. John 16:33 says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," everyone say "in me," "you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This is so powerful, because remember, Jesus has always given us an exchange at the cross. He's basically saying this to you. He's saying, listen, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. He says, but don't worry. You're going to have peace. And the reason why you're going to have peace is because I overcame. And because he overcame, he can take my fear. He can take my depression. He can take what the enemy's throwing at me and give me his peace in place of what I'm experiencing. Can you say amen? He has paid for it so that you and I can tap into that peace. This is so powerful. And this is not normal. This is supernatural. Well, how can I say that? Because it surpasses our understanding. Your natural mind doesn't understand. How is it possible that in the midst of something so rough, so bad, so severe, you can suddenly have peace? It's difficult to understand. Am I the only one that thinks so? All right. Hallelujah. There is a battle for our peace. So we need to look scripturally at what does the Bible tell us that we can do to have this peace. Remember what I said? There's a battle for your peace. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible speaks about what we call the full armor of God. The full armor of God. Gird your loins with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. That's the armor. Now that's the full armor to come against every kind of attack that the enemy will bring against you. But in that armor is what we call the shoes of peace. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Nothing that is written there was written by mistake. Remember what I said, the enemy wants to knock you out and give you a speed wobble. Well, what you need to understand about the shoes of the Roman soldier in that day is that the Roman soldier's shoes had little spikes on them. And the reason why they had those spikes was so that when they were in battle, they could put those spikes in the ground, kind of like football players have togs, is that the right word? And they put the, what is it? Cleats, togs where I come from. So they put those cleats in the ground, and those cleats, when they're pushing or they're running, they won't lose their balance. They won't slip. And so the soldier will have these on them so that if a spear comes or an arrow comes or whatever, they can stand firm. Or if they go head-to-head combat with somebody, they've got their feet right planted in the ground, and they just don't get knocked over like that. That's what that will do. He says that you must shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, these shoes, you've got to put them on. You've got to put on these shoes. And he speaks about the gospel of peace. And we'll get there in just a moment. Are you all with me this morning? All right. We have to put them on. We don't want to get knocked down. So in order for me to try and explain this to you in a way that hopefully will be easy for you to understand, we need to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Many of you know this scripture. It's a very familiar, popular scripture that speaks about the wholeness of man. But maybe you've never read it like this. Look at what it says. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Let's stop there for a moment. First of all, I want you to see what it says. It doesn't use the terminology, the God of love or the God of power. It says the God of peace. So the expression that the Bible wants you to know is that he's talking about God as a God of peace. Now, God is love. He is power. He's all of those things. But when it comes to sanctification and your walk with God, there is something that you're going to need in this journey to get to where you have to go. And that one thing that you're going to need is you're going to need his peace. Because in this journey, Jesus told us that we would have tribulation. the pastor that told you when you get saved that you're going to have a rose garden was lying to you. That's the truth. The Christian walk is a battle. It doesn't mean you have to be defeated. A good Christian walk is a victorious battle. But you've got to get in the fight in order to have the victory. So he's saying to you here, the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. And he's going to explain to us what that sanctification, that complete sanctification looks like. The word sanctify actually means to be made holy, to be made set apart. That's what it means. Now, when you get saved, the sanctification process begins, and we call that justification. That's the theological word for it. Simply what it means is just as if you didn't sin, the Lord takes away your sins. He washes you in his blood. He makes you a new creation. He makes you whole. That's what happens. But when you get saved, your mind still remembers what you thought and did yesterday. And the process of changing your mind is an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. And then one day, when you are old and gray, hopefully, you will die, and your body will be transformed and also renewed completely. Can you say amen? So he tells us that the God of peace himself will sanctify you, and that's why he uses the word completely, because he wants to show you that it's going to be a complete work. It's going to be, now watch, he tells us what it is. He says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. When you get saved, the first part takes place. Your spirit is born again. Hallelujah. Remember Nicodemus and Jesus had a conversation about what it means to be born again. So you get born again, and your spirit is now alive. And your spirit is the part that communicates with God. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. In other words, the part that God can communicate with in you is your spirit. Your spirit and God's spirit are speaking to each other all the time. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. That's talking about your spirit. And then it says, likewise, the spirit of God knows the things of God and searches the deep things of God. The inner man and the Holy Spirit are connected. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal everything to you. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will show you things to come. He will remind you of things. The Holy Spirit is the one that will remind you of Scripture. He will teach you everything that God wants you to know. He will show you things to come. He's the part of God that has relationship with you. The problem is we think the Holy Spirit is speaking to our mind. That's not really accurate. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit because he's a spirit and he communicates with your spirit. Now, I will do a teaching again. I did it right in the beginning when I planted the church on spirit, soul, body, because I can see we need to do it so you can understand this. But what I want you to understand, spirit, born again. And then we have this thing called the soul. God alone knows why, but we have the soul, okay? This is what I call the problem area. Because the soul is being saved. The soul is being renewed. Remember what it says? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The soul is the mind. The enemy will battle for your peace in your mind. So the mind has to constantly be renewed. That's why he says he wants to sanctify you completely. Spirit, done. Soul, a work in progress. Body, one day when you die. That's basically how it works. Are you with me? To simplify it. But God is amazing because he does these incredible things. For example, he can heal you when you're sick. I'm not saying it happens every time, but when it happens, it's so amazing. When God does actually heal someone supernaturally, you are tapping into the fullness of what has been done at the cross. The problem is this thing here. We can't persuade ourselves because we are so affected by our mind, our will, our emotions. That's the soul. I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying so hard to explain this in a way that it's easy to understand. Now, the soul wants peace, but its natural response is to go to the things that we know. Finances, security, no problems, and that's how we get our peace. Where God's saying, listen, that's not my peace. Don't rely on the things of the flesh. Don't rely on the things of this world to give you peace, because it will be temporary. My peace surpasses understanding. And where do I get my peace from? From the Holy Spirit. I get my peace from my inner man. You see, when something comes your way, when a challenge comes your way, this thing will come into your mind. Let's say something bad happens. Something bad happens. Let's say this. Let's say I go and I get diagnosed with cancer. Okay? Now I've got cancer. How many of you know that's a stressful diagnosis? But this happens to people in real life. Now I'm going to go back to my house and I'm stressed, I'm nervous, there's anxiety. Be anxious of nothing, the Bible says. What am I going to do in this situation? There's many things that could happen. Number one, I can get treated by a doctor. Number two, God can heal me supernaturally. Number three, I'm going to die. Okay? I'm just being very plain. There's many, many scenarios that we can play into, treatments, all this kind of thing. But in that moment, you have a choice. You have a choice. You know what can happen, but what does God say? God says that He will provide for you. God says He will take care of you. He will never leave you or forsake you. We know that He is a healer, which means one of the options on the table is He can supernaturally heal your body. So in that moment, you have to choose His truth, or you have to choose the diagnosis and what the world says will happen to you. And when you choose His truth, a peace that surpasses understanding will come upon you. Now, listen to me. This is hard to understand because our emotions are so overwhelmed by what we feel and what we see and what we're told. Whereas God's truth, it's almost like you can't touch it. We know it's there, but we can't touch it, right? So what do we have to do? We have to have faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What does the Bible say about God and healing? What does the Bible say about you? And listen, no matter what the outcome is, you can walk all the way to the end, whether it be healing or the end, you can walk all the way with absolute peace. Isn't that amazing, guys? You can go through it all the way to your total healing or to the end of your life. With total peace, it can be your portion if you tap into God. But you're going to have this choice, and this is what happens. You see, it's happened to me many times where something stressful happens, really rough. I go into my room, and I'll be transparent with you. Now, I have the word in me. I've served the Lord for over 20 years, you know, pretty intensely. And then I was saved as a little boy, but really, whatever. So, you know, so let's just say like 25 years. And so, I have a lot of the word in me. Now, something happens, there's a lot of anxiety. I get home, I don't even want to talk to my wife about it because I'm upset. So what do? I can either go and lie on the couch and experience what happens to the body because I've allowed the soul to be affected by this world, and the body then will go into depression. The body will have anxiety. It can even make you more sick. Or I can choose a peace that surpasses understanding. And I can go into my room and close the door. You see, the Bible says that we should shut the door, go into the secret place, and that's where He begins to give you what you need. That's when you begin to hear what's already on the inside of you. I can't even, sometimes when it's so bad, I don't even want to read my Bible. Confessions of a pastor. But what I do know how to do is I know how to cry out to Him. I know how to worship Him. Listen, if there's one thing I can do, it doesn't matter how rough I feel, is I can put that worship music on and I can lift my hands and say, God, you know everything. You know what I'm dealing with. You know what I'm going through. And in the midst of what I'm dealing with and going through, I choose to worship you. I choose to praise you. I choose to honor you. And then in that moment, something supernatural will happen and a peace that surpasses understanding will come upon you. There's an amazing story in the Bible. Not in the Bible. It's like a Bible story. You know, it's actually quite funny because the band had no idea what we were going to preach today. But we sang a song this morning called It Is Well With My Soul. And I don't know if you know the story of that song. Now, please forgive me because I only thought about this in the second service before and I don't remember the story perfectly. But what had happened was the guy that wrote this song, he was actually going to work with D.L. Moody, who was a minister. Good man, this man. And when the depression hit, he lost so much. And his family, his daughters, and I don't know if his wife was with him, went on a boat. So now he's like almost broke, lost everything. He was a wealthy man. And his daughters sailed. And when they sailed, they died, all of them. I think he had four daughters. And all four daughters passed away. And only his wife was alive. And they say that he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul, while he was on his way to meet his mourning wife. When you sing that song again, you will never forget what this man was going through. You all think, and I thought, it is well with my soul, thank you God, that I have no problems right now. But that's not what that song's about. What that song is about, it's about a man that has realized that in the midst of his pain and anguish, there is a peace that surpasses understanding. And he can cry out, not based on how he feels, but based on what God says in his word. And he can say, God, no matter what, it is well with my soul. It is well with me, Lord. No matter how bad I feel, no matter how rough it is still well with my soul. That is a peace that surpasses understanding. You cannot reason it out. It makes no sense at all. Can somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout in this place? Come on, stand to your feet. He can give you peace in the midst of a storm. He can give you peace in the midst of calamity. Whatever the enemy throws against you, there is a peace that surpasses understanding that is your portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when someone comes against you, and this happens to me every now and then. You know, I was driving with my daughter yesterday after the e-course, and it was so powerful. You know, it was such a powerful morning, and we were both in the car. And we were listening to music, to worship music. You know, and I was thinking about just everything going on in our lives over the last few years and where God has taken us to, and we're so grateful. And all of a sudden, the song's on, and the lady begins to sing in the background. She begins to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And in that moment, those words, which is his words, began to flood my soul. And I realized that it doesn't matter what the enemy does. It doesn't matter what he throws at me. I can say, listen, devil, no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. Then suddenly a peace that surpasses understanding comes upon you. That's his peace. Listen to this. Can you imagine? Wait, let me read the scripture to you quickly. No, let me tell you the story. I'm going to stay up here because I'm going to close soon. Can you imagine when Jesus met his disciples in the upper room? Most of us think when we see him appear, we're going to be, yes, Lord. But if a dead guy walked into my room and just suddenly appeared, I would for one moment look at him and be like, oh my goodness. And we know this is true because Thomas even said, I need to see your hands. You know, we go, oh, doubting Thomas. But the truth is, if some person rocked up in your house in the middle of the night, you would have some anxiety. You would have some fear. And so that's what happened to them. In that moment, they were like, what? Is this possible? Is it him or is it a ghost or what is it? And then the Bible says this. The Bible says that he said to them, peace be to you. And he blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, in a matter of a split second, the anxiety left the room. Why? Because they were given a peace that comes from only one source, and that's the Lord. They received the Holy Spirit. You have him living in you. And suddenly they had peace. The Bible says this in Isaiah 26, verse number 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. The you there is God. Will keep him is you in perfect peace. How many of you want to be kept in perfect peace? Now watch. Whose mind is stayed on you. That's him. Why will our minds be stayed? Or why will our minds stay on him? Because we trust in him. In this world, you will face trouble. You will have tribulation. You may face things that will seem impossible for you to handle. And I want you to know that you can go to the God of peace who will sanctify you completely. And he will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. No matter what you feel like in that moment, he will get you through it. He will give you a peace that will come in an instant, in a moment, that is supernatural, that is nothing like the peace of this world. That is a promise to you. Can you give the Lord a clap? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.